you think that that's a joke and you're not doing full neuro screens, that's another big reason why you're missing the boat. What's up, guys? I'm Doc Raj.
I'm Doc Caitlin, and welcome back to the Performance Rehab Authority Podcast.
We're here to tell you why you should be checking reflexes today. Before we get into that, this is a very nice reflex hammer. It's a Varioflex reflex hammer. If you guys are checking reflexes without a nice weighted reflex hammer like this, like look at the balance point here is like way up here. Look at that. Right? You are doing yourself and your patients a disservice.
But don't have a partnership with the Varioflex reflex hammer, by the way.
That's true. I just like them. I just love them. You can get a different brand. That's totally fine. But get a weighted one. These ones are cool because they got fun toys in each end of them that you can use. But why not check in reflexes? Anyways, why not? Why do people not check reflexes?
A lot of the times, especially when you're going through practice evals or something, especially when you first start out, you're like, oh, and this is where we would just do like a neuro screen, but then nobody actually does it when they get into the clinic because there's no time for it. They're like, it's bullshit. Like, you're not going to find anything because a lot of people don't know how to appropriately do it and appropriately apply it.
Oh, also because there's that rule, right? That like, if you don't have pain below your knee, like you probably don't have neuro changes and you don't need to check it. Which, by the way, if that's wrong once, it's wrong more than once.
People can also not have numbness, tingling, or burning pain and still have a back problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I brought up the if it's wrong more than or once, it's wrong more than once because I said, well, there's how many of these other things that tell me I should check neuro, right? And then one of my mentors said that to me. He was like, listen, if that's wrong one time, it's going to be wrong more than one time. And I found it one time, and I was like, right. And then that's what allowed me to really start finding all of this shit, right? Because when it doesn't make sense clinically, the subjectively, history, I almost said historically, history, like for the local body part or whatever, or like just what they're telling you, like my pain pattern, you're like, this is fucking weird. Maybe I should check the neuro.
Yeah. I think it comes down to if you're treating the spine, you should be checking reflexes. And if you're not treating the spine, but it is the spine, you should have been checking reflexes.
Yeah. Why? Why should I check reflexes when I'm treating the spine?
Because they give you an indication of the nerve health.
Yeah. And that's it right there, guys. If you're treating your fucking spine patients based on their pain levels, you are completely missing the boat. What actually tells you how the nerve health is doing? I'll wait. But since I can't hear you, I'll tell you guys. It's not their pain levels. It's their reflexes. Are they symmetrical? It's myotomal strength, right? It is their ability of their nervous system to tolerate stretch. You can have somebody where they're feeling really good, and then you check the neuro, and you're like, well, you're in the danger zone. Like you said, I like to say, damn it, last podcast, right? That's when they're in the danger zone of very easily bringing themselves back into being a lot of pain. And that's where people get stuck in this loop of, I've got a bad back, right? I've got a bad neck, because they do rehab or they're careful or whatever until they don't have pain. And then when they don't have pain, they go back to doing the same shit, but they were never fully healed, right? They were never actually ready to go back to doing all the same shit because they were just pain-free. Their nervous system health was not being monitored to tell them, actually, you know what? We need to continue this on until these objectively get better.
So here's the thing. If you're not treating the spine, you're treating a knee. And it is the spine. If you stop doing the aggravating factor, the spine is going to naturally heal, get better. But then when you put them back in the activity that's irritating the spine, like running, then their knee is going to start hurting again, and all the work that you did on the knee is going to make no difference.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you fall asleep hugging a pillow and your wrist is bent down like this, right? Like, how long can I stay like this for? It doesn't hurt right now, but if I stay this for an hour, maybe it'll start to hurt. If I sleep all night, definitely going to hurt. I get out of bed, wake up, my wrist hurts, move around. If I stop sleeping like that, it's going to stop hurting. I think we can all agree on that. But what happens if I just immediately start sleeping like this again? Right? Like, I can go to PT, then go, stop sleeping like that, do all these fancy stretches and exercises, and be like, it was the stretches and exercises that helped me. And then I'm like, well, I guess I don't have to be careful, I'm sleeping anymore, and I go back to sleeping like this. It's gonna come right back. And guess what? PT didn't do shit to help, right? The exercises and stretches aren't what helps. It's the modifying the aggravating factor.
Yeah. Don't you have a story about a patient that blew out her knee?
Oh, yeah. Mary. Mary came to us. She hurt her back. She hurt her knee, which was her back. But she blew out her knee, quote unquote, is what she said, doing a plank. So when we talk about things not making sense, like that doesn't make sense. Like, what does the knee do? Extension during a plank, like non-weight bearing extension. And when she came in, she couldn't walk. She was hobbled over, right? Limping, bent forward, big old swollen knee. Been trying to treat the knee, been trying to help it out. And it was getting no better. She didn't understand. And, you know, people saw a swollen knee, they saw an antalgic gait, and they were like, yeah, all right, what's the knee? It hurts to move the knee, right? Like, her knee hurts, we're gonna just treat the knee. What they were treating, I don't know, right? They were probably doing some hip stuff and some knee flexion extension, just like generic shit. But when I saw her, I came in and I immediately went, well, that doesn't make sense. Why the fuck would your knee be swollen from a plank? That's immediately like a little, big, I wouldn't say red flag, right? Because that sounds bad in a medical sense, but a big red question mark there of like, what's going on? And then we talk to her, right? And we find that, hey, she can actually lay down, or she can lay down on her side in the fetal position and straighten her leg out, but she can't lay on her back and have her legs out straight. Well, that's also weird. When she's standing, it hurts to bend her leg, right? And walk and weight bear. But she can lay hook line with a bent knee, it's fine. Like, there's all these things that don't make sense of, like, well, the knee position and what the forces are sensitive to. And we come and we're talking to her and we just find out more objective information about, like, or subjective information about what really bothers her throughout the day. And that first visit, we did nothing but treat the spine. Educated her on her sensitivities and put her in positions that were nice to her. And actually, I just let her lay in a position that took her away from all of her sensitivities as I was talking to her for about 20 minutes, taught her how to move much better on her way up. And then she was able to stand on her knee, pain-free, and stand upright with no pain immediately and walk out of there that day without a limp after trying to treat her knee for so long. Yeah, it's just because people didn't understand how to make it make sense, right? Like, none of that stuff made sense for it to be a knee. But since I was able to get in there, check the reflexes, do a neural screen, I was able to see the difference in her ability to tolerate stretch, strength, reflexes, all that stuff, and put it together of like, all right, and know how to alleviate it, retest it, right? And then be able to show her that it was in fact actually from her back, because just as the patient is coming in with a swollen knee and the therapist is like, it's a knee, look at it, it's swollen. The patient's also like, well, my knee is swollen. How could it be my back? And you have to be able to make that make sense for them in a way where you're not telling them what's going on, but you're showing them and they're actually telling you and making it make sense.
Yeah, I think Mary's example is a great one of when it seems like it's something else, but it's actually coming from the spine. And that happens more often than we realize. And so that's why it's so important to do these neuro tests, because neurotests end up getting grouped with sensation in the entire neuro screen, and people just think it's not important and brush it aside as, oh, this is where you would do a neurotest.
Yeah, and then they don't, right? I was thinking about why should you check reflexes? Because I actually had a therapist ask me that. Or that wasn't even a question. It was like rhetorical. It was like a rhetorical question made as a statement. When I was talking about it, they're like, what do you even need to check reflexes for? Right? Like, they weren't looking for an answer. They're just like, you're dumb. Why are you wasting your time checking reflexes? And I was like, well, what did you just say? Right? Also, if you're not checking reflexes, how are you screening like upper motor neuron lesions? Right? A lot of that has to do with reflexes. If you're not looking at like the Hoffman's and the Babinski, and if you guys don't know what those are, you should look them up right now. I can know exactly how to do them. If you don't know, you're checking upper reflexes, upper extremity reflexes, if you're not looking for an inverted supinator sign, right, with the brachioradialis, you could be missing a lot of things when you're not screening out the nervous system and how they're working.
Even if you remember how to perform those tests, like the Babinski's, you know, you learn all of that from school. If you don't remember how it's applied clinically or what that would indicate, that's where you need to go back. Because it's cute to do the Babinski reflex on babies and you know, see it come to life, but you have to know if you see that in the clinical setting, how might that change your plan of care?
Yeah. And what do you have to see in combination with that to like really be like, huh, I want to reach out to somebody like a, like their treating physician and refer them back to like clear out red flags and all this stuff. I think it's funny that you said clinicky, whatever it was, clinicky instead of clinically. I think the big takeaway here is that if you're not checking reflexes, if you think that that's a joke and you're not doing full neuro screens, that's another big reason why you're missing the boat here, right? The absence of pain doesn't indicate the health of the nervous system. The location of pain doesn't indicate the location of where it's coming from. And you don't need numbness, tingling, paresthesias, sciatica, pain distal to the knee, all that stuff, for you to find some pretty serious neurological deficits that are going to clear up a lot of shit for you.
Yeah. You need to be looking at reflexes, myotomes, tension, neural tension testing. Do the whole thing.
And if you guys want to learn more about how we treat, we have put together a totally free 3-week mini course for you. We've taken a long time to learn the skill set and learn how to apply it. And we just want to shortcut the process for you guys and help you learn some things to up your game completely free, very low commitment, 3 weeks, a little bit of time. You're going to learn some massively impactful stuff in there. So go ahead, make sure you download that and go through it.
And remember, if you are unhappy or unfulfilled in your career or in your life, no one's coming to save you. It's your responsibility to lead by example, to pursue excellence, to learn new skills,
and to welcome the challenge of raising the bar. Remember, you have to be the change that you want to see.